Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are we doing today? Y'all sound like a whole church. It's amazing to be here. We're so blessed to have you guys. We just want to welcome our guests. If you're a guest in here, can you raise your hand real quick? If this is your first time, good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good morning. Any more guests? The young lady right here, she a guest. Praise God for you. Any more guests? Go ahead and just raise your hand. You're definitely a guest. Every time you come, you a guest. Praise God. We also want to welcome our live stream members. We definitely appreciate you guys always tuning in. And we'd love to have you here at 9 and 11. So if you have the opportunity to come, we definitely have a bus. And, you know, we have a lot of people here, so you can definitely get a ride. So we'd love to see you here in the presence. Okay? Also, we just want to remind you, if you're looking to get connected to the guests back there, we also have a guest reception. If you go right out these doors and turn left, there's a hallway. Somebody will escort you guys. It's going to be after service, okay? All right. Next, we have the Celebrate Recovery for Men. So if you're definitely recovering from any type of addiction, or you just need, you know, some people to come around you, you can definitely get involved in this. It's on Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And it's beginning on August 19th, which has already passed. So it's been going on for 2 weeks. So get involved. Also, we have Welcome Home Weekend. Who's excited for Welcome Home Weekend? Every year, it is literally a blast. We love it. It's definitely an awesome time to be able to welcome people home. You know, who doesn't want to be home? I love home. It's amazing to be here. And tonight, we have the last night of Elmira Fest. Yeah, last night was absolutely phenomenal. So if you have any family in town, invite them out. Just let them get loved on, okay? All right. Yeah, we definitely want you guys to stand up with us. Come on, come on, stand up. It is 9:02, and we're going to stand and get ready for praise and worship, okay? Pastor Rhonda Spencer and Michael Spencer.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to be back in the house with you all. We've had such an adventurous week. We've been down in Florida with Faith TV. Many of you were able to log on and watch. It was just such an awesome time of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus all over the world. It was powerful, powerful, many salvations. I know in this house, it's normal to see people saved, but I can promise you it is not normal across America in churches to see salvations. And so Pastor preached a message on one of the days about sharing Jesus with their friends and family and coworkers.
Not like you haven't heard that enough.
But for them, they said in 525 days, not one guest had shared about being saved. And so Pastor did the salvation call and asked them if they prayed that prayer to put it in the comments. And it was just scrolling across the screen. I prayed that prayer. And this morning, even driving in, the people on the replay, we got a message. I prayed that prayer. So God is moving. He is awesome. We had Elmira Fest last.
58 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ last night. Amen. 58.
And the anointing was released in our community.
Amen.
We bound some stuff and we released the anointing and the love of Jesus on our community. So thank you for being such an awesome church.
You're an amazing
making
church.
This happen.
Honestly, when you think about it, the amount of finances that are spent even on one event. We're spending about $34,000 on the Elmira Fest. And what we're doing when we do that is we are literally investing in the lives of our region.
Yes, amen.
It is not throwaway money. It is not money to publicize, because if we wanted to publicize, I'd put all of that on TV. You know, this church has been offered international television. We've been offered it many times, and every time I turn it down. Why? Because I thank God for the world, but this is the part of the world God has sent
Amen.
Us to.
Amen.
And so we're putting the money right here.
Yeah.
to love people, to tell them and not just say we love them, show we love them.
Amen.
And so tonight, we want to encourage you, make sure you're there tonight at Elmira Fest.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can volunteer. We need some more volunteers because,
absolutely,
remember, we switched it from Friday night to Sunday night. We need some more volunteers. Last night, they registered 801 people. That's a lot of folks.
And Pastor, for the volunteers, please make sure you sign up to volunteer. Actually, you don't even need to sign up. Show up at 4 p.m. at Grove Park tonight. If you want to, don't show up 4:30, 5 o'clock. We won't be able to get you in place and trained. If you want to volunteer tonight, please show up at 4 p.m.
Unless it's making hot dogs, because I want another hot dog.
So show up tonight. Let's love on our community.
How many of you know there's going to be hot dogs in heaven? Hallelujah. And ice cream.
Sure,
I stopped for ice cream on the way home last night,
heaven.
Too. Jesus.
That's terrible. Let's pray and open the service. Father, we just love you so much. You are such an awesome, awesome
yes, you
God.
Are.
You
we
are
love
so
you.
Good to us, Jesus.
We need you, God.
We thank you. Thank you for your love and your power
we
that just breaks
that
every
lives.
Yoke of bondage. We celebrate you today, Lord,
way.
And we know where two or three are gathered,
yes.
there you are in the midst.
Manifest
and where you
love,
are,
Jesus.
Lord, joy comes,
yes.
peace comes,
yes.
healing comes,
yes.
deliverance comes, restoration
Hallelujah.
Comes. So, Father, in your presence today, we just are made free. We are made whole, and we thank you for
yes,
it.
We
worship you. We honor you. We put everything else aside.
Yes.
We lay everything down and we leave it
yes.
at your feet, Jesus. And we leave this place different than when we came
Amen.
In. We leave this place having been in your presence,
yes.
Lord. We thank you for it in your precious name. Amen.
We have a lot of folks that are watching on live stream this morning. Many people on vacation. This is like the last hurrah. So I just want to take a moment and pray for all those that are on vacation to be safe. Father, we just release right now the angels of God to surround and protect your people as they're relaxing and spending family time together. God, let them enjoy themselves. Let them come back refreshed, renewed, ready to rock and roll for Jesus. God, we just give you all the honor and all the praise. Lord, as we enter into worship, saturate us, overwhelm us, overcome us. God, not only do we want to just hear and see you, but Lord, we want to experience you. So the anointing, please do as you will, Holy Spirit, change our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Amen.
One more announcement, and that is if you are here to get another entry for the car, if you go to the guest reception desk, they are waiting for you. I love you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Come on up front. The altars are open for praise and worship.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. His body was
righteousness.
His body was broken.
amazing thing is you. You are forever.
You are forever.
You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure.
You are my treasure.
The only lasting thing is you. You are forever.
You are forever.
You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure.
You are my treasure.
Yes, you are, Lord. You are my treasure, my great escape, Jesus. I run to your name, Lord. I run to your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
Gotta be. to be where you are.
Jesus.
I want to be where you
are. We want to be where you are.
I got to be where
we
you
wanna
are.
We
want
to stand at your feet, Lord.
I want to be where you are.
Just to be in your presence.
I got
to
be where you are.
Oh, Jesus. I want to be where you are.
I got to be where you are.
I want to
be
where
of the past. God Almighty, over all.
Hallelujah. We worship you this morning, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing in this place. Where your anointing is, there is the power to heal. There is the power to deliver. There is the power to save. Father, release the anointing right now into the lower rib cage on the right-hand side of that person that has pain in it. God, I just release the power of heaven right now. I command the cause of it to cease and desist in Jesus' name. Somebody else on your left-hand side, I call it you have a hitch in your giddy-up. It's over on your left-hand side, that hip side right in here, and not sciatic. And God's healing you right now in the name of Jesus. I believe it's a torn muscle. God is restoring you in Jesus' name. There's also somebody asked me this morning if they would pray for, if I would pray for them concerning cigarettes. And today, if God will do it for one, he'll do it for all. Amen. Today, if you're struggling with an addiction, let's just say cigarettes or weed, and you want God to deliver you, we're not going to, if everyone just keep your head bowed, let's just be, this is a reverent moment. If that's you, you want to be delivered, just put your hand over your mouth. If that's you, wherever you are in the congregation, put your hand over your mouth. In the name of Jesus, I speak right now to this addictive spirit. You foul thing, you have no right to torment, keep in bondage the children of God. You are in the sound of my voice, and you will obey in Jesus' name. I bind you, foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, and I command you to loose them right now. I said, now. Father, I thank you that even the smell of nicotine will start turning their stomach. I pray in the name of Jesus, the smell of weed will start turning their stomach. God, if they inhale it, it will actually cause them to get sick to their belly. That, Lord Jesus, they'll never go back to it again. In the name of Jesus, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We declare your word over our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? I'm just so excited you're in the house of the Lord this morning. And I'm excited what God's going to keep doing in this house. Remember, this is not my church. It's his church. I have no problem relinquishing to the Lord at all. Why? Because I am not God, don't ever want to be God, couldn't ever be God. I want him to show himself powerful. One of the things that Brother Terry said last week that I thought was so, what I've been, many people don't know what I pray. I've been praying for something to happen for years. And I've been praying in the service that God will stand up. And in that prophecy that he gave last week, he said, God stood up. I want God to notice us. You know, there are a lot of people that are worshiping not in spirit and in truth. They're just singing songs. But I want God to notice this house. Amen. I shared before how we had a woman of God in, what was her name? She did the soak-in thing. Katie Souza. We had Katie Souza in many years ago. For those who don't know her, she's a great woman of God, moves in the spirit very strong. And her worship leader was with her. And when we got done doing a morning session, we went back to my office, and she said, the worship leader said, I know you are a praying church. And I said, well, how do you know that? She said, because there are like balconies around the top of your building, and angels are filling those and watching what you're doing. She said, the presence of God, angels, she said, angels only go where prayer has gone before. And I'm excited because we are a praying church. Only thing that can be accomplished is through prayer. Amen. So I just thank the Lord that you are an amazing people of God. And my wife and I are so blessed to pastor you and to be with you and to share the word with you. We are honored to be your pastors. So we're going to do meet and greet now. For those who don't know what that is, our guests that are in the house, we actually go around and say hi to people. Now, not everybody is still comfortable. So what that means is before you breach, you want to ask them, is it okay that I shake your hand? Is it okay that I hug your neck? And for those that are, great, have an awesome time. For those that are not, love them just a little bit from afar. Love travels, amen. So come on now, go meet somebody you don't know. Take a few minutes. Love on somebody you've never met before. Tell them, good morning. You look just marvelous today. my baby. Come on now, don't be a snob this morning. Go meet somebody you've never met before. Say, good morning, you look just marvelous today. Come on, don't let anybody not get a hello. Everybody gets a hello this morning. Man of God. Man of God, I
love you. Go for
to put it back in the box. Don't remember who you are. If I did, I would not make this announcement.
Storehouse so that there would be food in my house. Bring all the tithe is what he says. And he says, test me in this. See if I won't open the windows of heaven before you. And we hear testimony after testimony of people walking under an open heaven with the blessing and the favor and increase and prosperity of God. Every single week, we get to hear phenomenal testimony of what God has done in people's finances. When we take it out of this natural realm is so up and down and crazy, and you can't count on it. You can't depend on it. I know many of you right now are facing whether you'll be keeping your jobs or not. Listen, when we are in God's economy, and when you have been a faithful tither, and when you have been a sower and obedient to God's word, you can count on him that he's gonna make a way where it seems like there is no way and it's impossible. Do not get into fear. Trust your God through this, and you will see him open the windows of heaven before you. So we hear the word of the Lord. And simply in this passage in Malachi 3:10, it says the tithe. The word tithe means 10%. It's not something a man made up or the church made up. This is God. Actually, in Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus himself, red letter, says, "You tithe, this you ought to do." This is Jesus saying it. And listen, it's not a church trying to get your money. Listen, we want you to walk in the blessing and the prosperity of the Lord. He wants his children. It says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. It makes God happy when you're blessed, when you increase, when you have favor on your job. He takes pleasure in that. So in this house, we love to give. We get excited about this time to give. And we make a supernatural declaration over our finances. And it's from Deuteronomy 28. So if you're ready and you'll stand to your feet, we'll repeat it together. Because it says in Isaiah that when the word goes forth, it has to perform. It will not return void. So you are prophesying over your money right now. You're speaking over your money what it's going to do. It has no other choice but to perform what it's sent to do. So let's send the word together. It says, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in.
Party today, and everybody's standing as far, they're social distancing. Come on, you guys. Heavens. Okay. Corinne? Okay. Happy birthday, Pastor Rhonda. You're welcome. Happy birthday. This is a presentation from the staff to you because we love you and we honor you today. in honor of your birthday. You know, Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so we honor you today because you do that. And if there's anybody I know in this world that imitates God as a beloved child, it is you. And we thank you that we can imitate you as you imitate him. And we honor you. And we thank you for being our leader, a person of integrity, a person who walks in love, the single most generous person I know on this planet. And we're honored to serve and to imitate you as you imitate Christ. So happy birthday. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the whole month. Hallelujah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Rhonda. Imitate Pastor Rhonda in generosity. We ask that you would prepare a gift for her, a blessing right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And I would challenge you to make this the most generous birthday gift that you ever have to honor Pastor Rhonda. She has been our example. She has led us. She has never wavered. She loves us, encourages us, even through her own challenges. She has never, ever once let any one of us down. And so I challenge you now, as you bring your gifts forward to honor her for her birthday, that you let that be a generous and significant gift to honor her for all she is to us. In Jesus' name. You can bring your blessings forward. I'm sure we have some music. Happy birthday, Pastor Rhonda.
Good for 54 years old. Next year she crosses over. We're going to have a black birthday party out. Big balloons, black birthday balloons. We're going to have a black cake that says happy 50. Amen. Can you believe that? She looks amazing, doesn't she? Listen, we've been married 31 and a half years and we still like each other. That's a really good sign. Today is a great message, and I'm going to try to preach it as short as I can. Is that possible? This is more education for you. You see, many people have experienced, we've been talking this year as we're changing forward, we've been talking how God desires us to be people of the supernatural. Turn to somebody and say, the supernatural is natural. When you're born again, the supernatural is natural. It is a normal flow because who dwells in you? The Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He is God. He is God that brooded over the earth at creation. I want you to recognize that you are not weak, but that you are strong because God lives inside of you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, You become the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is a powerful truth because so many believers forget this. We kind of live naturally. But God doesn't want you to live in the natural. He wants you to live in the supernatural and to recognize that everything happens spiritually first. Everything is first spiritual. When you recognize that, then you're able to literally discern what's going on in your life. When you can't discern what's going on in your life, it's like you got to take a shotgun out with birdshot and hopefully you hit something. But when you recognize through discerning of spirits, through the direction of the Holy Ghost, what is spiritual first, then you can thwart the very attacks of the enemy with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So we are not weak. This is the issue with Christianity today. So many believers are weak because of the lack of understanding. Jesus, or the Word of God, says it best, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We've been talking about how God's called you. Turn to someone and say, "That's you." He's called you to share the gospel. Tell somebody, "Did you share the gospel this week?" He's also called you to heal the sick. Jesus did two things. He preached and he healed. He healed and he preached. This was the ability to be able to share the good news, not just in word, but in deed. And the Word of God says that the signs and wonders shall confirm the preaching of the word. So learning how, and we've been through this, I can't go through it all. My daughter-in-law, she whoops on me on a weekly basis. You are repeating yourself, repeating yourself. Stop repeating last week's message. Just move on. And so she says, "Why waste the first 20 minutes when you could just cut to the chase?" I never listened to her. So it's important that we recognize that Jesus did these two things and that Jesus has called you for greater works shall you do because he said, "I go to the Father." That's John chapter 14. When Christianity loses why we're here, then we are truly the blind leading the blind. This is what's happening in Christianity today. The blind are leading the blind. The preachers are not equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, bringing them to unity and bringing them to maturity, which brings us to a place of complacency. And we sit in our seat, and our seat gets wider and wider and wider. And people die and go to hell while the church is asleep in the light. It's time for the body of Christ to arise. It's time for revival to occur. It's time for us to do what Jesus did. He preached and he healed. Yes, you got a job. You got a Terry. He's coming soon, but he's not here yet. You got something to do in the natural realm. He said, "Work until I get there." But your work is not just your physical, natural work. Your greater work is why you're truly here, for you were born for such a time as this. And that is to bring in the sheaves. That's an old song. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Oh, that's an old song. I heard all the old saints sing with me. Glory to Jesus. What's a sheave? See, the teenagers don't even know what a sheave is. It's the harvest. Okay, we'll move on. Here we go. Sorry, Mindy. So, we're called to do these two things. And last week, we talked about how God wants to use you to heal the sick. We actually got into how you lay hands on people, how you pray, how you release the anointing. We're not just telling you to do things without giving you the how-to. But this week, I want to talk to you about something that is not just for those that you're going to pray for that you need to educate, but also for yourself. And it's how to keep what God has given you. Many people get something from Jesus. They get healed. They get a miracle. They get a touch from heaven and they lose it. It is not God's plan to give you something and you lose it. It's God's plan to give you something and you keep it. But we've got to remember that we are truly in a spiritual battle in the essence of there is one, John 10:10, that devil has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. So we are in a spiritual. Remember, everything is spiritual first. When God blesses you, you've got to be aware The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and you can turn there with me. Look, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. To keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of the wiles of his intentions. As believers, we've got to recognize how he works. Listen, we don't study the devil. We don't pay attention to the devil. We're not afraid of the devil. But whether you like it or not, if you believe in God, there is a devil. And even if you don't believe in God, you're probably more of a slave to the devil than you thought. The fact is that there is a real enemy of your soul, and his desire is to destroy you. His desire is that you will not make it to heaven. His desire is that that which was created in the image of God will not sit with Christ in heavenly places. And the devil is a real enemy. He has real demon spirits. They are one third of the angels that were cast out of heaven that followed Lucifer when he was cast down in Isaiah chapter 14. They are real and they are active and they have a goal and they have a process. And what they strive to do is take what God has given you and take it away from you. Take what God has blessed you with and strip you from it. Where God has given it to you to keep, but yet the devil hopes that you will listen to him and surrender. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Whenever anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. You know, for all the years that I've been preaching, I've always looked at that verse as one dealing with a sinner. But it's not only dealing with a sinner. That doesn't say sinner. That says when the word is seeded, when the word is released, those who don't understand, the devil comes to snatch away that seed. Our understanding of our covenant right, our understanding of God's call on our lives, our understanding of spiritual principles, our understanding of our spiritual authority, our understanding of how to stand, and after you've done all you can do to stand therefore is necessary because the enemy is banking on the fact that you are a dumb Christian. Ignorance is not bliss. I have found so many believers that are just plumb dumb. They love Jesus and they're going to heaven, but they couldn't spiritually make their way out of a paper bag. They blame God for things that God has nothing to do with out of their ignorance. And they surrender things to the diabolical that God has secured for them through the death of his son and resurrection. Ignorance is something that you and I have to fight. Now, ignorance is powerful because there's two types of ignorance. You've got willful ignorance and you have just, I don't know, ignorance. There are a lot of believers that are good folk that have never been taught anything. Now, listen now. In this house, we have rock solid faith. Can I hear an amen? You cannot go through rock solid faith and remain ignorant. It is not possible. You will know what you believe. You'll know whom you believe and be persuaded that he's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. But yet there are most people in this house. I want to say at least 60% of the people in this house have never been through rock solid faith. And yet they consistently struggle. And the majority of ministry calls that we get are those that not because God hasn't provided, but because they don't understand how to ascertain and they don't understand how to keep it. We're coming to a season, body of Christ, where sitting back and remaining dumb is not going to be plumb wisdom. Get it? Dumb, plumb wisdom. Did you hear that? I did that on purpose. That's the best I get for rhyming. Just not good at it. The devil is real, and he wants to snatch away the seed. Now, listen now. I just saw it in the spirit. I'm releasing right now the word of God. And I'm watching even now as the enemy is playing with pokes right now in this room. And he's starting to steal the seed. Doubt destroys the seed of God. Faith activates the seed of God. So when you sit in the seat and your spirit is not open, then what occurs is that seed will get in there and the enemy will immediately start stealing it away. Now, this is important for you to recognize because this is spiritually what happens and you cannot physically see it. That every time a message is preached, every time you open the Word of God, every time that God touches you and blesses you with something, whether it be in the natural realm or in the spiritual realm, you've got to know in your spiritual man that the enemy is immediately being released to go and try to steal that seed. He wants you not to be blessed. He wants you to struggle. He wants you to strive. He wants you to be hopeless. He wants you to be, listen, he don't care if you're a Christian as long as you don't tell anybody else. And if you're living blessed and living secure and living powerful, you're going to make an indent in the devil's domain. So as believers, we've got to really pay attention. The devil desires to steal because God is good. God said in the book of Romans chapter 2 verse 4, or do you not know? Do you have no regret for the wealth of his kindness and tolerance and patience? Are you unaware or ignorant of the fact that God's kindness leads you to repentance? That is your change of inner self, your old way of thinking. Seek his purpose for your life. The enemy wants you to be ignorant to the place where you actually will blame God for something that God has not done. Started writing a book probably 20 years ago. Never finished it. It's called God Abuse. How so many Christians abuse God with their ignorance. They blame God for things he has nothing to do with. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. So whenever you see an attack on what Christ has paid for on Calvary's tree, you no longer can blame Jesus. You must literally take an aggressive spiritual posture to come against the devil who's trying to steal the seed, trying to steal your faith, trying to steal your blessing, because that is what he does. It is spiritual first. So when we don't understand this, we struggle because when something all of a sudden comes against us with what we've been blessed with, we then ask God, where are you? And God is saying, no. Where are you? I've already done it. I've already fulfilled it. Listen, I've got news. There's nothing more that he can do. He's already done it all. Everything that can be done for us as men and women of God, Jesus has already done it. He's already paid for our sins. He's already paid for our sickness. He's already paid for our poverty. We no longer have to live in those places. But yet the church sits back and blames God for things that God has nothing to do with. We've got to be aware. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Listen, we're not afraid of the devil, but we can't be dumb about the devil. We've got to understand how he works. And listen, his ways and tactics really have not changed from the beginning of history. One of the first tactics that the devil has had, and you've heard me preach this before, is with Adam and Eve. When Eve was in the garden and the serpent came to her, the serpent questioned God. The serpent said, did God really say? Listen now, this is my personal opinion. I don't believe the first sin was eating the fruit. I believe the first sin was Eve giving ear to the devil. The moment you allow something to supersede the word of God is the moment that you are allowing the enemy to steal the seed, for the seed is the word, and the word brings forth harvest, which is the manifestation of the supernatural from the supernatural into the natural realm. And without that manifestation, then your natural world does not change. Even though the supernatural is ready to be released, it is literally harnessed in heaven and cannot bridge over into this realm because mankind's doubt destroys the relationship with God. The devil is just hoping to seed enough doubt in your life to steal God's blessing. So what happens when you get healed? What happens when you get a miracle? First of all, you got to know the difference between the two. A miracle is an instantaneous manifestation of God's power from heaven to earth. And it takes no faith. A miracle does not take faith. That's why many times Jesus did miracles and he would touch a sinner. You remember when he walked into the pool of Bethesda? That man didn't even know who Jesus was. He wasn't expending any faith. But Christ, after 38 years that he was in this position, walked up to him and rose him up. How about the man at the Gate Beautiful? The man at the Gate Beautiful was sitting there for all those years. He had been paralyzed from his feet down. He was known as a beggar, wore beggar's clothing. And yet Peter and John literally walked up to him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he literally got up and started dancing and shouting. These guys did not need faith. There was no faith to be released. They didn't even know what they were going to get. They had no idea who was giving it. All they knew was they got what they didn't realize. That's a miracle. Miracles are not just in your physical body. They can be even financially. You remember Jesus said, "We got to pay our taxes. Go fishing, Peter." Peter went fishing. He said, "The first fish you catch, open its mouth, and there'll be enough money in the mouth to take care of our taxes." Peter went fishing, caught a fish, opened it up. There was enough money in the mouth to go take care of the taxes. Miracles. How about at Canaan? The Canaan man, it was Jesus' first miracle. And it wasn't his time. His mama walked up. Now, see, mamas, you are powerful people in the kingdom. Mama walked up to Jesus and said, "Hey, we need some new wine." He goes, "It's not my time." She said, "Listen, guys, whatever he tells you to do, go do it." She didn't even give him an option. Jesus performed the very first miracle, turning water into wine. There was no faith to be expended. Those men didn't know why they were going to get cisterns. They didn't know why they were filling it up with water. They didn't understand what was going on. A miracle is an instantaneous work of God that takes no faith. But I want you to hear me. It takes no faith to get it, but it takes faith to keep it. Now, I got to say it again because I need you to hear me. This is where a lot of Christians, they cross. They get a miracle. I'm talking a real, bona fide, genuine, marked miracle. And they get it, they know it, they walk away, and it's back. And they say, "Well, God must have taken it back." God has never given you anything in our timing. Watch now. Two types of timing in the kingdom. You have eternal time, and you have linear time. What's linear time? That's the time that God created in Genesis chapter 1, because he knew man was going to fall. He knew man was going to sin. If God had not created linear time, which is seconds, minutes, and so on and so forth, if he had not created linear time, then what would have happened when man sinned? Then it would have been an eternal sin with no opportunity for redemption. But there is two timings. That is eternal time. And what's really interesting is the only time you see natural time or linear time invade heaven's time is in the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation period with the three woes. And all of a sudden, the three woes come across and heaven goes quiet for 30 minutes, our time. But here we are. God has never given you anything in this realm for it just to last a few days, a few weeks, a few months. If God gives you something, it's always with an eternal mindset that if he gave it to you now, you can have it until you enter heaven. Amen. Say amen. Amen. You got to know that. Because a lot of people say, "Well, you know, it must be over." No, 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 baby. If God gave it to you, listen, when God saved you, washed you with the blood of Jesus, can I hear an amen? He didn't save you for an hour and a half. His plan was you'd be eternally with him. When God does a miracle and heals you, it's not for an hour and a half. If God can do it for an hour and a half, he can do it for the rest of your life. Healing is different. Healing is a progressive manifestation of God's power in a person's life. Healing is different because healing takes faith. Not just faith to get it, faith to keep it. This is why the enemy works so hard to keep you out of church. This is why the enemy keeps you so busy you don't have time to read your Bible. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you're not in the Word of God, when you're not hearing the Word of God, your faith supernaturally is not rising within your spirit, man. You're not becoming stronger in your faith. For I walk by faith and not by sight. Some of you walk so thin on faith that the ice is cracking. We've got to recognize that faith is literally the currency of heaven, and that when God releases faith through us, remember, the faith that we have, God gives us, but the way God gives us is because we get a transmission, a transfer, as we read and listen to the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Jesus said in bed, the words that I speak, they are spirit, pneuma, and they are life, Zoe, the God kind of life. The life comes through the Word of God. And the enemy, if he keeps you out of the Scripture, if the enemy can keep you out of church, if the enemy can keep you out of your learning process of feeding in faith, for what you feed lives, what you starve dies. Then when it comes time for you to receive your healing, you can't. That's why I'm constantly pushing you. Constantly pushing you. Build your faith. Build your faith. Build your faith. Why? Because, baby, you don't have time to build your faith when all of a sudden the doctor says you've got cancer. You don't want to wait till that moment to all of a sudden have to build your faith. You want your faith strong. I'm preaching, son of mine, grandson. I'm preaching. You're not. You will later, but not now. You've got to build your faith now. So faith is different. Faith is built. Faith is matured. Jesus said it best. He said, O ye of little faith. He told others, O ye of great faith. And the disciples said, Lord Jesus, increase our faith. Faith is not faith in faith. Faith is trust in God. For the more you know God, the more you'll trust God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, we're not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you what happened. The 10 lepers came, and this is what Jesus said to them. Go and show yourself to the priests. And the Bible says, and on their way, they got healed. So when they came to Jesus, they had leprosy. And he said, now go. Come on now. Obedience accelerates your blessing. Come on, Pastor Andrea. Your obedience to God activates your faith. When you're unwilling to obey God, you'll never be able to release your faith to receive from God. Say amen. Amen. Are you understanding? It's good teaching this morning. I'm not a good teacher, but I'm teaching. So as they went, so here they are. They came to Christ. They have leprosy. Jesus prays for them. And they leave the same way they came. Now, if they had not gone and walked to the priest, they would not have received their healing. You got to know that if you're not going to obey God, you can't expect to get anything from God. You can't live like hell and expect to receive from heaven. Say amen or oh my. So they walked, they obeyed Jesus, and on their way, they received their miracle. And I want you to realize that's faith. For I walk by faith. They knew that if Jesus told them to go, they would go, and on their way, that's what he said, on your way, they would get healed. They got it. And here you and I need to recognize that healing is that way. How about Jesus when he healed the blind man? Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 24. The blind man came, Jesus made some mud. Come on, Americans. We're going to have a prayer service, and I'm going to spit and make some mud and smear it in your eyes. I'm not going up there. Spit? That nasty. I don't even double dip the chip. Jesus spit, made mud, put it on the man's eyes. The man washed off, and he said, what do you see? He says, I see men, but they're like trees. So Jesus said, let me pray one more time now. Laid hands on him again. And when he opened his eyes the second time, he could see clearly. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Healing is different. We need to know whether it's progressive or whether it's instantaneous, it is still the blessing of God. But I've got news for you as a believer. Turn to someone and say, I think you're a believer. If you're a believer, usually God uses faith.
Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. I want a miracle.
We all want miracles. That's why you go to Burger King. But the majority of time for a believer, it's a healing. Now, let's say all of a sudden you get healed. I remember one time I prayed for a woman, a young lady up in Maine. She had crossed eyes. I laid hands on her. That's my sister was there. She's a witness. Laid hands on her, and I laid hands on her eyes. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your eyes to come uncrossed. She had diabetes, too. And I said, I curse diabetes in your life. I command your pancreas to work properly in Jesus' name. Well, she left. She didn't have a test kit for her diabetes. And when she left, her eyes were still crossed. But she came back that night, and something was different. When she got up in the morning, she went to the mirror. And when she looked into the mirror, her eyes were no longer crossed, but straight. That's a healing. It happened while she was sleeping. And man, she was excited. Wouldn't you be excited? Amen. I tell about the lady that was healed down in Long Island one time. I was preaching at a church, and I had a word of knowledge about someone's left arm being drawn up into their body, and it was struggling to even move. And a lady came out. She came out from the back, and she had her arm. It was just like this. Yeah, you remember Dole? You remember the president? Was he President Dole? Was he a vice president? What was he? Huh? He was impactful, wasn't he? So here he had, you know, Dole always kept a pen because he couldn't move his elbow. And it was the same thing with this lady. She didn't have a pen, but she couldn't move her elbow. Her arm never left this spot. And I prayed for her, and she left the same way she came. Her arm was still drawn up. The next night, she came back to the meetings, and she drove into the wrong parking lot. She had been a visitor. Drove into the wrong parking lot and reached up and shifted with the hand that had never moved since birth. It was a birth defect. That's a healing. Didn't happen when I prayed for it right there. Wasn't a full manifestation. But when you lay hands on somebody, they receive. Come on now. Faith says I receive it before I can see it. Faith says it's mine before it's tangibly manifest in the natural realm. And so all of a sudden, this woman got her miracle. She was dancing all over that church. I'd be dancing too. Wouldn't you be dancing? She's raising her hands, shouting unto God. God completely healed her arm. I love when God does healing. But whenever you get a healing, whenever you get a miracle, you have to pay attention. The devil is like a sneaky, foul, little roaring lion. Now he can roar, but he's teethless. Toothless. I know he went to the dentist. Jesus pulled his teeth. I got to hustle. See, when I pause like that and I say I got to hustle, I'm now deducing what I'm cutting out. So here we are. You get your healing. You get your miracle. And it's real, bona fide. You can't deny it, neither can somebody else. Let's say you have bad knees. All of a sudden, God healed your knees. You're able to run back and forth in front of the altar. You haven't been able to do that in 20 years. God set your knees free. He gave you brand new knees. That's a miracle. They're already healing, man. Maybe you were walking back to your seat. On the way back to your seat, all of a sudden, you felt it pop. And now it no longer has any pain. You can feel the healing in your body. Either way, you've got to know that the enemy is going to come to steal the seed. And if you have no understanding, you'll give it back. Understanding is everything. When you don't understand, you yield things that should never be given back. So here are some tactics that he uses. Number one, he uses doubt and fear. Doubt, which means this. Bona fide, baby, you got this thing. You know you got this thing. I got this thing. I got this thing. You know you got this thing. You can't deny it. You're shouting. You're dancing, man. You're rejoicing. On your way home in the car, the enemy starts whispering, that ain't real. Come on. Now, you made that up. It's coming back. You know that, don't you? When you get up in the morning, you're going to feel the same way you felt when you went to bed, the other night. You know what's amazing is we end up receiving words that are opposite of the scripture. The devil is a liar. How many times does somebody have to lie to you before you go ding, 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 they're a liar? I know folks, come on now, that lie so much they don't even know they're lying anymore. Come on now, anybody know those kind of liars? They look at you and they tell you, and you know what happened. You know the truth. You were there. And they start talking to you. Yeah. And then you go, didn't this? No. I was there. Somebody said, I had somebody say to me one time, I did this. I said, dude, I was there. And he said, no, really, I did it. And I said, dude, I was there. I was there. I saw what happened. And he said to me, well, it could have. I said, no, I was there. See, when you have confidence in the truth, it doesn't matter what somebody else says. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Come on, that's why you got to know the word. That's why you got to understand the word of God. Because the devil's going to come in with that little lie, and he's a liar by nature. He can't even tell the good truth. He'll just give you enough truth to lie to you, to sucker you in. But when you know that I was there, excuse me, I was there. I read it. It was even in red letters. I don't care what you say. I was there. You can't allow doubt to enter your mind. You've got to rebuke doubt. It is a spirit. I'm not telling you it's a spirit. Jesus said it was a spirit. He said, when the seed is planted, the enemy comes to steal the seed. Don't you let him steal the seed. Don't you let him steal the seed. When doubt starts coming, you just say in the name of Jesus and you start quoting verses. That's why ignorance is so bad. Because you don't even know where to go to in the Bible when you're ignorant. 1 + 1 = 2 + 2 = 4 + 4 = 4 × 4 = 16 × 16 = Somebody said a lot. Very true. Can't deny the truth. You can't allow fear and unbelief couple. That's why you can't have everybody around you. All of a sudden you go and you start telling somebody. I had this lady, she got a miracle, man. She was a pastor and she came here. She had always been taught that sickness was from God. Listen now, Jesus didn't pay for something to give it to you. He paid for it to take it from you. So God can tempt no man with evil, which means God can't take what he delivered you from to torture you with. Get that one down in your spirit, and that will deliver a lot of you. So this woman, man, she had hives. She had hives down her throat. So we gave her the book, T.L. Osborne, and Christ the Healer, and she started eating the book, and man, God healed her. I'm talking like she came back, she said, Pastor, this is the first time in years I have been healthy. It was awesome. Then she went to one of her Christian friends and said, Jesus, heal me. She goes, now listen now. I want you to know that you shouldn't ask God to take away what he gave you. He gave you sickness to teach you a spiritual good. She didn't rebuke Satan. She said, oh, okay, boom, sick again. You can give up what Christ has given you. By agreeing with the devil, you then get the devil's reward. When you believe and agree with God, faith moves mountains. Come on now. Isn't that good? I should have listened to Mindy. I'd have more time. Another tactic of the devil is time. This is mainly healing. Lay hands on you. Release the healing of God. The moment hands are laid on you and the anointing is released, your healing has progressed. That is the instant touch of heaven, and the anointing destroys yokes of bondage. The anointing brings order out of disorder. So when hands are laid on you, you got your final, the manifestation of your healing, not when it manifests, but when you received it. So what happens is time disembowels many people's faith. You want it now. You can't understand why it's not yours now. So now you start questioning God. Now you start speaking anti-scripture. Well, I guess this is just my lot. Well, I get, baby, now it is your lot. Never allow time to steal your healing. It might take a bit of time. It might take a week. It might take a month. It might take a year. It might take 2 years. But you've got to make a decision in your spirit that I got my healing the moment hands were laid on me, because the word of God says that you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The word recover is a key. If it's not recover, it's miracle. So if it's a healing, it's progressive. What stops your progression is your faith or doubt. As we've said multiple times, my wife should have died 4 times last year. Not figuratively, literally. 4 times last year, she should have already been in the grave. She's not in the grave, not because the doctors fix things. She's not in the grave because when sickness or even pain comes on her body, pain came on her body at 4 a.m. this morning. I said, let's take care of business. Amen. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I laid hands on her this morning and I said, in Jesus' name, we resist pain. According to Isaiah chapter 53, verse, come on now, ignorance is not bliss, is it? Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, that Jesus on the cross, you took our physical and emotional pain. So pain, I put you back on the cross. I command you to leave her body. I speak to that nerve. I speak to that neuropathy. I speak right now in Jesus' name to any cause. I curse you in Jesus' name, and I command the pain to stop. She rolled back over and went to bed. I couldn't go back to sleep. I got up. We have choices to make. Time, I don't like God's timing all the time. I'll just be honest with you. Yeah, I'm not. I think, you know, they always say God's not late. Sometimes I think he's late. But whether he's late or not late, why would you cut your nose off, spite your face? If God's the healer, then why would you curse the healer? Well, I'm mad at him. That's stupid. That's just stupid. Well, I'm mad at God. That's dumb. He's the only one that can save you from eternity cast in hell. He's the only one that can heal your body. He's the only one that can deliver you. That's just dumb. Well, I have a right to be mad at him. So-and-so died. Really? Last I knew, God's not the killer. The devil is. So put it where it belongs. Stop blaming the one who delivers you and start blaming the one who tries to kill you. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. Another tactic that he uses is symptoms. Man, I got to hustle. I'm really late. I don't know, you guys, you just draw it out. I'm what I'm doing actually is blaming you. Before I get to symptoms, I want to do one more. The reason people lose their healing is sin. Sin. What? I'll just read the Bible. Ready? The man healed at the pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5, 1 through 16. Verse 14 says this. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you." If the devil can sucker you back into your sin, or your flesh suckers you back into your sin, you can lose your healing or miracle. Stay pure. Your healing or miracle is worth staying pure over. Amen. Feeling well. That's what he said. Made you well. How many of you like feeling well? How many of you have ever had a cold? Snot running down your nose. Your ears are popping, and you got to swallow what you just choked up. Let's move on. Move on. I used to have a lot of fun. There was a lady in our church at one point in time. She had a very weak stomach, and I could almost get her to vomit. So I would try. She's not here anymore. Maybe she is offended. I don't know. I don't care who you are, even the common cold is prison. He whom the Son has set free is
free.
Even the common cold.
Well, you know, it's just the way it is.
Okay. You get what you believe. I don't even want a cold.
Well, you know, you just got to deal with reality. Germs are germs.
I curse the germs. Last I knew, I have all authority. Amen. Last I knew, the Bible told me, I have preeminence. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Bible. I got to hustle. I'm late. Symptoms. I've seen so many people that when they get healed, before they get back to their seat and they know they're healed, they start feeling a symptom. The moment you agree with the symptom over the word of God, you now have submitted to the symptom, not the word of God.
Well, I don't know. I think that's mind over matter.
No, it's mind over word. See, the Bible is either the word of God or it's not. And if it's not the word of God, baby, let's just stop playing games. Let's go home. I know I could sleep in this morning. I could have slept. You got me up at 4 a.m. But I could go home and watch a John Wayne movie. Symptoms come. But when a symptom comes, you never submit to a symptom. If Jesus did it for a minute, he'll do it for an eternity. So when the symptom returns, that's the devil tempting you. Listen now, how many of you got saved? Like you really actually got born again and Jesus changed your life? How many of you sinned once after you got born again? All the rest of you just did. Hallelujah. How many of you sinned the same sin twice after you got saved? How many of you sinned the same sin three times after you got saved? How many of you knew before you sinned the third time that you shouldn't be doing that? You knew it. Jesus didn't need to show up in bunny shoes. You just knew. Nope, don't do this. You felt the Holy Ghost. Nope. Hey. No, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't hang out with them. Don't go to that bar. Don't climb in that bed. Don't roll that joint. Come on now. Don't pop that cap. You knew before you ever did it. Now I wasn't talking about killing somebody. Let me tell you, the worst part of this whole sermon is Mindy sitting in the front row mocking me. She's mocking me this whole sermon. You know, you just don't know. I'm going to tell you right now what happens here. We have a family chat, and it's connected to Apple. So while I'm preaching, my daughter-in-law is making fun of me on the family chat. So as I'm preaching, I'm sitting down going, really? Do you want to preach this message? When you get a symptom, it's just like a sin. It's a tempting. Remember, it's never tempting from God, for God can tempt no man with evil, James chapter 1. So when you get healed or you get a miracle and a symptom comes back, you don't receive it just like you shouldn't receive the sin. You take an aggressive posture against it. I resist the devil. I resist the symptom. I resist the temptation. I'm not going to settle for it. I'm not going to say, well, I guess just that's the way it is. Because then you've opened the door back for all the rest to slide home. You got to take an aggressive posture against all symptoms. Now, I'm not telling you anything that I haven't learned and lived through with my spouse. You must bind it in the name of Jesus. And you've got to speak the word of God. So the devil loves to steal. He loves to steal what God has given you. And you've got to hate. There are two things you got to hate in this world. You got to hate the devil and you got to hate sin. And you got to bring it into subjection. When you get that temptation to surrender your healing or miracle, you've got to be aggressive. You can't be passive. Don't be a whiner. Stop whining.
You know, I don't understand.
Shut up. Stand up. Come on now. If you fall for everything, you'll never stand for nothing either. Get up. You got to stand up and look at the devil in the face. You got to look at your symptom in the face. You got to look at your fear in the face. You got to say, in the name of Jesus, fear, you have no place in my life, for perfect love casts out all fear. Unbelief, you have no place in my life, for I walk by faith and not by sight. Symptom, you have no place in my life, because I refuse to rescind what Christ has paid for by his stripes you were healed. I refuse to allow sin to steal what Christ has paid for on the cross. There's nothing this world has that is worth giving up one thing Christ has given. You got to make a decision in your life. I'm never going backwards. I'm only going forward. Was that all right this morning? Is that all right? Hi. Hi, granddaughter. I want to pray for you. First thing I want to pray for is, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is your moment now. This is it. Well, I have all the time in the world. Who told you you can tell God when you want to get saved? See, that's ignorance. Ignorance is, I can get saved anytime, any day I want. No. The Bible says the Holy Spirit draws you. If you're being drawn, you're in the room where the word was just preached, you have enough faith to get saved. And if you don't want to, well, then it's no problem. That's between you and God. I'm not going to condemn you. Fact is, that means you're making a decision to pay for your own sins. So when you end up in the lake of fire, you can't say to God, How did you, if you're a God of love, how could you send me here? And he goes, no. I'm a God of love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I paid everything so you don't have to pay for nothing. But if you don't want me to be your God and you want to be your own God, that's cool. Just don't get mad when you get thrown in the lake of fire. Don't blame God. You chose to be your own redeemer. That means you chose to pay your own price. You chose Dutch. Paying Dutch rather than having him pay for the whole thing. So today, if your heads are bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask you an honest question. If you do not know Jesus, you're not right with God, and you want to be right with God this morning, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Not asking you to join a church, not asking you to join religion. Thank you, sir. Now I'm asking you to do one thing. Know God, know him who paid it all for you so you can have it all. Not just here in this world, but in the world to come. I'm not going to wait long. Get your hand up a little higher. Come on. 5, 4. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Thank you very much over on this side. Is there anyone else this morning? 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 3. Back row. Thank you. 2. Last call right now. I told the story last week. There was a woman who came up after service last week and said this to me. She said, Pastor, I was in a church where the pastor gave an altar call, and this woman went up. She was an older woman, went up, gave her heart to Jesus, came back to her seat, and dropped dead in her seat. I was actually giving her CPR. Baby, that's too close. Too close. Too close. 5, get your hand up. 4, 3, if you want Christ, get your hand up. 2, last call. Thank you, sir. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I declare in Jesus' name that all that have heard the voice and the word of the Lord, for he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that we will not rescind, give up. We will not back down from what you blessed us with. By your stripes we were healed. Miracles, signs, and wonders shall follow the preaching of the word. Even now, healing has begun in people's lives. Even now, your cell levels are coming to attention in Jesus' name. Even now, your brains are starting to be healed and restored in Jesus' name. Even now, muscles, I declare even sinew. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command bone marrow. I command right now blood to be healed in Jesus' name. I speak to organs. I command you to line up with the word of God in the name of Jesus. Eyes be open. Ears be open. Yep, I heard that too. Hair grow in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you are the God of miracles, that you are the God of the supernatural. And as your church, we will always refuse to give back to the devil what you have paid for. And after we've done all we can do to stand, we will stand therefore in the power of your might. And we give you all the honor and all the glory in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Come right on over here. This is Mindy. We want to pray with you, get you a Bible. Want to make sure you not only start this race, but finish this race. I believe there are cupcakes out in the foyer for my wife's birthday. Enjoy them. We love you. Have an awesome day. Serve God with all of your heart. And we have a connection room. If you're new in the house, we'd love to have you in our connection room right on the other side of this wall, your right-hand side as you're leaving the building, your left-hand side. Right on that side, there's a connection room.
His body was broken.